This adopted city of Weimar. And a live concert from the city where he spent his final years, Bayreuth. A celebration of Franz Liszt. Next Sunday from 12 noon on BBC Radio 3.
BBC Radio 3 is on 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and also online. Just gone 1 o'clock, time for the news from Ian Skelly.
The Foreign Secretary, William Hague, has rejected suggestions that the former Defence Secretary, Liam Fox, tried to pursue an independent foreign policy under the influence of lobbyists. Dr. Fox resigned on Friday amid allegations about his working relationship with a friend and self-styled adviser, Adam Werity. Mr. Hague said he himself was responsible for directing foreign policy with the help of the Prime Minister and 140 ambassadors around the world. Israel has begun the process of releasing nearly 500 Palestinian prisoners in exchange for the captured Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit. He was seized by militants in Gaza in 2006. The prisoners now have been named and are being gathered in two prisons ahead of their expected pardon and release on Tuesday. Tens of thousands of anti-government protesters in Yemen are holding another mass rally in the capital Sana'a. That's a day after at least 12 people were killed when security forces opened fire. Witnesses say there's been more violence with 4 more deaths. Many others have also been wounded. Protesters who've set up camp in the city of London calling for changes to the global financial system say they intend to stay for weeks. The protest, which began last night, coincided with similar action in cities around the world. The demonstrators in London have erected 70 tents outside St Paul's Cathedral. Thousands of people have lined the streets of the Wiltshire town of Wootton Bassett, which will formally receive a royal title this lunchtime. The Princess Royal will represent the Queen at the ceremony, which will include a celebration parade and flypast. The town became famous for its role in the repatriation of British armed forces who died in Iraq and Afghanistan. New Zealand is through to the final of the Rugby World Cup. The team beat Australia in Auckland this morning by 20-6. They'll meet France in the final on Sunday. And the weather, there'll be sunny spells in parts of England and Wales this afternoon. Elsewhere, though, it'll be breezy with scattered showers. Those showers will become heavy and frequent in the far northwest overnight. Elsewhere, it'll remain dry with clear spells. And that's the BBC News and the weather. The time just coming up to 1:03.
And that means it's time to join Catherine Bott for today's early music show, which features music performed by the Venice Baroque Orchestra. And the programme starts with a string sinfonia by Vivaldi.
some very gutsy Vivaldi to begin the programme, from his 1740 serenata Il Coro delle Muse, the Sinfonia in G for strings and continuo RV149, played by the Venice Baroque Orchestra, conducted by Andrea Marcon. In today's early music show, highlights from a concert they gave last February, recorded in the Konzerthaus in Vienna and made available to us by courtesy of our colleagues at the Austrian Broadcasting Corporation via the European Broadcasting Union. The Venice Baroque Orchestra was founded in 1997 by the organist and harpsichordist Andrea Marcon, a graduate of the Schola Cantorum in Basel, and they've chalked up a number of baroque operatic firsts over the last 14 years, including modern premieres of Cavalli's L'Orione, Handel's Siroe, and two versions of L'Olimpiade by Cimarosa and Galuppi. So, an ensemble that's very experienced in accompanying singers. And for this concert, Marcon and his players were joined by a remarkable French soprano, whose voice is designed to obey all the commands of her intense and thrilling histrionic instincts, Patricia Petitbon. She's recorded a CD with the orchestra, which offers glimpses of some of Baroque music's most compelling female characters, and we're going to hear from two of them right away. First, an aria from Alessandro Stradella's oratorio San Giovanni Battista, written in 1675 and astonishingly advanced in its quirky decadence. Patricia Petitbon is the incarnation of pathos as King Herod's daughter, but remember, she's pleading with Daddy for John the Baptist's head on a plate. And then we hear from Alessandro Scarlatti's patient Griselda, subjected to endless ordeals by her rotten husband, telling him how she plans to smile through it all as proof of her love.
Thank you.
Soprano Patricia Petitbon, using the wonderful acoustics of Vienna's Concerthaus to the full, in arias from Stradella's San Giovanni Battista and Scarlatti's opera La Griselda. More from Patricia later in the programme, but now it's time to hear the Venice Baroque Orchestra in a concerto grosso by Handel. The 12 concertos of his Opus 6 were written in the space of a month in 1739, and they're often coupled with Bach's Brandenburg concertos as the greatest instrumental works of the late Baroque. This is the first concerto in G major.
Thank you.
Andrea Marcon directing his own Venice Baroque Orchestra in Handel's Concerto Grosso, Opus 6, No. 1. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, today presenting highlights from a concert recorded in the Concerthaus in Vienna last February. Two of Handel's characterful ladies now, brought to life by soprano Patricia Petitbon. First, from Giulio Cesare, the captive Queen Cleopatra laments her lot, but vows vengeance. And then from Ariodante, Dalinda, who has been duped by royalty, calls upon the heavens to do a bit of smiting. Patricia Petitbon took a degree in musicology before beginning her singing training and was discovered early on by William Christie of Les Arts Florissants, so she knows her way round a da capo. Stand by for some astonishing embellishments in the second aria.
Thank you.
Don't you just long to know how Handel would have reacted to that? He who once threatened to defenestrate the diva who wouldn't sing an aria in the way he wanted her to. Patricia Petitbon with the Venice Baroque Orchestra conducted by Andrea Marcon in arias from two Handel operas, Giulio Cesare, first staged in 1723, and Ariodante from 1735. Back in time a little now to instrumental music by Tarquinio Merola, who was born in Cremona in 1594 or 5 and died there in 1665. The Venice Baroque Orchestra play a piece from his Canzoni ovvero sonate concertate per chiesa e camera a due o tre, published in 1637. That long title just means canzonas or sonatas in two or three parts for church or chamber. And as you'll hear, the musicians put a distinctly secular spin on the ballo detto pollicio. The Venice Baroque Orchestra conducted by Andrea Marcon with Merula's Ballo detto Pollicio from which you'll gather that, in true Venetian Baroque style, they're partial to adding a bit of colour from the percussion department. And there's some in this next piece, too. Francesco Geminiani's Concerto Grosso in D minor, called La Follia, after Corelli's sonata of the same name. Geminiani wrote this in 1726, when La Follia was one of the most popular and well-used tunes in Europe.
Thank you.
The Venice Baroque Orchestra playing Geminiani's Concerto Grosso La Folia. I should have said before that La Folia's origins are Iberian, and in France the tune was called Folie d'Espagne, which obviously calls for castanets. And a castanet solo adds exoticism to the final piece in today's programme, an aria from the opera Giulio Cesare in Egitto. No, not Handel's, but one by the Venetian composer Antonio Sartorio, who was born in 1630. Like Handel, Sartorio created in Queen Cleopatra a delightful minx. In this aria, she's got Caesar under her spell, and she knows it.
Thank you.
The irresistible Cleopatra, voiced by Patricia Petitbon with the Venice Baroque Orchestra, conducted by Andrea Marcon, ending those highlights from a concert made available to us by the European Broadcasting Union. That's it from me, Catherine Bott, for today, but next Saturday's Early Music Show comes live from a bit closer to home for most listeners, the Brighton Early Music Festival. Do join me for that if you can.
A live edition of the programme next Saturday, just after the 1 o'clock news.
They said this day would never come.
The presidency isn't just measured by what you achieve, but how you're perceived. On the campaign trail in 2008, Barack Obama was an inspirational performer. But has he lost his touch?
I've been told that I voted for a man who said he was going to change things in a meaningful way for the middle class. I'm one of those people, and I'm waiting, sir.
The political commentator Gary Young makes his performance notes on a presidency. Young on Obama starts today on BBC Radio 4 at 1:30.
Well, now here on BBC Radio 3, Sunday Concert, a chance to catch up with a concert which was given last Wednesday evening by the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra and its principal conductor, Kirill Karabits. The concert was given at the orchestra's home at the Lighthouse Arts Centre in Poole, and Andrew McGregor was there to introduce it.
It's always a special pleasure to hear an orchestra playing at home, and this is my first trip to the Lighthouse in Poole. It's great to be here to experience the music making firsthand for a change, sitting just behind the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra's first violins. I'm actually more used to hearing them on Radio 3, and also with my CD review hat on in their commercial recordings from Silvestri and Berglund. Two more recent discs with Marin Alsop and now Kirill Karabits. And there'll be a chance to hear one of his latest recordings with the orchestra straight after this Sunday concert. Here at the Lighthouse today, it's Benjamin Britten who's providing the illuminations, throwing new light on the highly evocative and sometimes deliciously surreal texts of the French symbolist poet Arthur Rimbaud. Tenor Mark Padmore joins the orchestra for Les Illuminations in the first half of the concert. In the second part, there's just a single work, Beethoven's Fourth Symphony. And in the interval, I'll be talking to Kirill Karabits about this evening's programme and the challenges of finding an orchestral voice here in Bournemouth for Beethoven's music. First, though, we're travelling back a little further in time, exploring the 18th century Commedia dell'arte tradition through the eyes and ears of Igor Stravinsky, who shows us his love for the music of the past in his ballet Pulcinella, which many consider the gateway to Stravinsky's neoclassical phase. Stravinsky based it on what he thought was music by Pergolesi, although it turns out that a lot of it was by other composers. No matter, the ballet was a success in Paris in 1920, and Stravinsky went on to arrange the suite from Pulcinella, which we're about to hear, an opening sinfonia and seven dances based around the early 18th century stories of the hero of Neapolitan Commedia dell'arte, who captures the hearts of all the girls, enrages their various boyfriends, outwits them, escapes death, and arranges marriages for everyone, himself included, to guarantee a happy ending. And that applause is for the arrival of the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra's leader, Charles Mutter. And here comes the orchestra's principal conductor, Kirill Karabits. We're about to hear the suite from Stravinsky's 1920 ballet score, Pulcinella.